Out comes McDavid charging down the ice. He's got a stick. He's in. Backhand. Score. A beauty.
One and a half year here, getting me more confidence. For sure, I'm stronger and faster, and I feel like I'm growing up for person and player a lot. Feels like I'm like ready to get the new step for the NHL.
Now McDavid across the Draisaitl, scores 100 points for Leon.
We could learn from what we went through, and everyone's pissed off about it. I think that's the best way to describe it. But there's a taste in everyone's mouth that's very, that no one likes. We need to find a way to not have that taste. And we've had it 4 out of 5 years here. So we know we need to be better.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the Locked On Oilers podcast for May 27th. It's a wonderful Thursday here in the city of Edmonton. Welcome to the Locked On Oilers podcast. I'm your host, Hernan Salas, from TSN 1216, the Two Guys and a Goalie podcast. Connect with me on Twitter at Hernan the Man and at Locked On Oilers. Today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Today on the pod, we'll be joined by Tom Gozzola. We'll go back and talk about Kenny Holland's presser. We'll also look at the decor of the Edmonton Oilers and have some fun with that, as right now it's probably going to go a little bit silent in terms of Oiler news, as the players and the GM and the coach, everybody's already did their season ending media avail. So we'll just wait now for the draft and free agency expansion and all that. It's going to be a fun ride. And how about Ethan Bear? Kudos to him for standing up yesterday, posting that video through the Edmonton Oilers, standing up against racism. And Kenny Holland said it's disgusting what he had to go through these last couple of days. I mean, listen, everybody's passionate about the Oilers. You always want your team to do well, but to take it to that extent is just ridiculous. And good on Ethan Bear for standing up. And I think we all stand with Ethan Bear on this. You saw his team back him up. You saw his organization and other fellow NHLers in media. So it was great to see. Good on Ethan Bear. And for those idiots out there, and it's a small amount. The Oilers fans are not like, for the most part, but that small amount that thinks is a tough guy behind the keyboard and sends racist remarks to players, it's just, you're like the lowest. You're just the lowest. And be better. So kudos to Ethan Bear. We applaud him here on the Locked On Oilers podcast. He's a hell of a player. He's a hell of a human being. So we all stand with Ethan Bear. Like I said, not a lot going on in terms of the Edmonton Oilers. Probably now for a few weeks here as we move forward. Two games tonight in the NHL. The Toronto look to close out their series against the Montreal Canadiens. They made a couple interesting decisions today. They're going to play Marilyn Gustafson on the third pair. I know I was just on Twitter, and Montreal media fans are up in arms about that decision. Hey, you never know. It might work, but we'll see what happens down in Toronto. And then Carolina is in Nashville. They're up 3-2 in the series. They look to close it out. If they do, they will meet the Tampa Bay Lightning. Tavares skated today on his own 7 days after that horrific injury. So good. That's some good news there for Mr. John Tavares. Nick Foligno will be out once again, and look for Sandin likely in for the Leafs tonight. So two games on tap, and that's about it. But let's talk some Oilers. There's lots talk about Mike Smith buyouts. Let's look at this decor. I mean, do you have to have the conversation with Tyson Barrie? Adam Larson looks like he's coming back. Would you bring back Slater Cuckoo as a depth guy? A lot of decisions. Are you comfortable with going with the young guys in Bouchard and Bear on the right side with Adam Larson? So we'll get to all that as I now welcome in Tom Gozzola from TSN 1260, the host on the pre and post game shows, and also a co-host on the Oil Stream podcast with Dustin Nielsen. Tommy, did our last shift on Monday night. How you been these last couple of days?
Great. Just absolutely fantastic. I mean, no, it, I know we have been off from our show. Our show is done for the season. It was a great year. Hernan, it's always great working with you. And but it hasn't stopped. I mean, there's been the post-mortem availabilities, press conferences from the team. And then on Wednesday, we heard from Ken Holland. And so even though the season's done, there's no more games.
Yeah.
We're still going.
Yeah.
And you're still going. We've got the draft lottery coming up. I know that doesn't have anything to do with the Oilers. We're going to have the expansion draft. We're going to have awards coming up. We're going to have free agency. And not to mention, there's still playoffs going on, and they're going to be going into the heart of July. Yeah. And so it's still busy. Like people are like, well, what are you going to do now that the season's over? And you go, well, yes. So our pre and post game show, you know, doesn't start up again until September when there's preseason games, but there's work to be done. There's other shows to do. There's Locked On NHL. There's Locked On Oilers. There's keeping tabs with what's going on. Like, it's over, but it isn't. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, there's still a lot to go on. And I was just listening to Sarah Valli on the Lowdown Show, and he made a statement that I want to throw at you, your way. It says, this is by far the most critical offseason in Oilers history. We heard Kenny Holland talk yesterday. It sounds like he wants to under-promise and over-deliver. That's kind of the theme that I saw a lot of you know, the armchair GMs yesterday on the social media saying, but I mean, he's saying what most GMs are going to say. But what do you make of Kenny Holland this offseason? And do you agree with Sarah Valli saying this is by far the most critical offseason in Oilers history?
Frank's making good radio. He's a very, very good reporter, and he's an insider for a reason. And I mean, you could almost make the argument that offseason 88 was more critical after what happened. Offseason, 91, when Messier had to be moved on. Offseason 06. There's been some critical ones. This one is... no doubt, to echo what Frank said, you know, in this new era of the Oilers, it is the most critical. So he's right, but I'm kind of teasing a little bit. This is time to kick it into high gear. And, you know, Ken Holland, in his lengthy press conference on Wednesday, he did talk about a lot of things. And I, you know, the underselling, over delivering, that's a good way to go about it. And I know fans didn't really like the tone of it. And I think a lot of the focus too, and what I picked out of it was, you know, he wants to build this team, yes, to win imminently, but at the same time, he also wants it to win consistently year over year over year, keeping the cupboards full and stocked with prospects that will be able to contribute and push guys, not just every couple of years, but every single year. And that comes with drafting and developing properly. And I think that was a lot of his messaging. And I think some people perceive that as him not being pedal to the metal. And I don't think that's true. I think he's just kind of being thorough, and he said it in a pretty roundabout way.
Tommy, some of his, I think the two comments that really caught everybody's attention was that he's wants to re-sign Mike Smith. And then that there's a good possibility of a buyout. Now it's not breaking news. It's more than likely going to be James Neal. But what did you make of those two comments? Are you surprised that he just came out and said, I want to sign Mike Smith? Because I'll say this, Mike Smith was fantastic this season and in the playoffs, but I don't know about coming back with Koskinen and Mike Smith, if that is the plan, because I know Koskinen has 1 year left. I don't know how you get rid of that contract. And then James Neal, I'm not big on buyouts, but I understand why you would want to. Just your thoughts on Mike Smith re-signing, according to Kenny Holland, and the buyout option.
I appreciate the candor. And I appreciate the fact that he said, I want to bring back Mike Smith. We're going to talk about it. I'm going to go to Kelowna. We're going to do this and hammer something out. You know, I don't foresee it being long-term, certainly not at 39 years of age. I don't think the price point is that high. And if they could mutually come to an agreement and it works out for both sides, that's fine. And quite frankly, Hernan, Mike Smith being the starter next year after what he's done this season, is A-okay. It's kind of like when Dwayne Rolison was cast aside by Steve Tambellini and he brought in Nikolai Habibulin. Well, this is kind of the opposite of that, where he's keeping Dwayne Rolison and not worrying about bringing in a Nikolai Habibulin. Habibulin was horrendous with this team in his 4 years. And Dwayne Rolison went on to have some pretty good years into his 40s. He played with Tampa and the Islanders. I think he went to a conference final with the Lightning as well. And Mike Smith is coming off a good year where he has earned that right. And I saw some comments of people saying, well, he's good as a backup. That's not realistic. He was a starter this year, far and away, one of the best goalies in the league. And you don't turn that guy into a backup just because of his age. But gave you everything.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Finish it.
I know. I'm just going to say this. And I don't think James Neal is the 100% likeliest to be bought out. I'm looking at Mikko Koskinen at 1 year, $4.5 million. And I'm saying 1 year less, you're not worrying about 4 years of buyout money going out the window. You're worrying about 2 years of buyout money going out the window.
That's true.
And you're improving your goaltending by getting rid of him.
Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. I had Joaquin Gage yesterday and he brought up a good point. Like, isn't Mike Smith going to want a bit of a raise here, like what Mikko's making? Because he knows he's going to be the starter. And then I'll add a second part to this, Tommy. Eventually, the Oilers have to get their number one goal. And listen, I'm okay with Mike Smith coming back, but as long as you can find a way to move on from Mikko Koskinen. But I think eventually you have to find that younger guy that's going to be your goalie for the next 4, 5, 6 years.
Sure you do. And that's a long-term problem that they're going to have to solve. They have guys in the pipeline. Stuart Skinner had a good year in the AHL, got his first NHL start, won, even though he was pretty shaky. You've got Konovalov coming along. You've got Rodrigue. Dylan Wells is still in the system, but I don't know if they're even that high on him. So there's guys coming, but they're going to take time. And if you bring back Mike Smith for another year, that buys you a year, okay? And eventually, you know, you have to make a decision on Stuart Skinner. You have Alex Stalock for another year at a dirt cheap price. He's around 750 grand for another year. There's a guy that can give you consistent games and is comfortable being a backup. He won 20 games in 1920. He was the starter for the Minnesota Wild. So it's not like he hasn't been in a prominent position with the team before. I think he's much more consistent than Mikko Koskinen. So that's why I think that's a more likely scenario. And then to add to the James Neal thing, I know that the price point sucks.
Yeah,
I know that the fact that he has a couple more years left, it doesn't make it easier. This is a guy who started to play better later in the season when he was feeling better. Okay, yeah. That's important to note. He's 1 year removed from a 19-goal season. He would have finished with 20, I'm pretty sure, 20-plus, if the season wasn't abruptly ended at 71 games for the Oilers. So that would have chalked up to another 20-goal season. I don't care that they were on the power play. I don't care that they were at the start of the year. That's 20 goals, okay? Yeah. And in a league that's hard to score in, 20 goals, you don't just say, no, thank you. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Especially for a depth guy, okay? So I think it's worth seeing what's left in James Neal after a full offseason where he can recuperate, properly prepare his body, and get himself into the right frame of mind, right physical state as well, and see what's left next year. I think that that's reasonable. That's not a prominent second line or first line role. That's third, fourth line with some power play time. And you see if you can get some production out of him that eats into another year. And then if you want to look at a buyout with 1 year left, spread it into two with the buyout. I think that's more feasible. And instead of buying him out now, paying him out for what, 4 more years at a higher price point than Mikko Koskinen, that would just be 2 years with Mikko is making what, $1 million less a year than James Neal. And the other thing too, like how much really can Mike Smith demand? It's going to have to be bonus laden, that contract, and maybe a little bump up and the money, maybe some of the money you save on buying out Koskinen, you could put towards Mike Smith, but I don't think he's going to be demanding such a high price point. So I don't necessarily, you know, if that's exactly what Gager said the other day, I don't necessarily completely agree with that. I understand where Gager's coming from though.
Yeah, I know. And I mean, buyouts are never ideal. And you make a good point. Like maybe they just say, okay, let's just cut with Koskinen and keep Neal. Neal's only 2 more years, but would Stalock Smith be a hard sell here in Edmonton for a third year?
Probably. Yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody's ever satisfied here, to be honest with you. Yeah. And, you know, I looked at the goalie UFA market. It's not great. It is not good. Bennington's locked up. I don't even trust Bennington, to be honest with you. He's more interested in stirring it up and throwing blocker punches at people and than stopping pucks most days, it seems like. And then Tuukka Rask, you know, is he going to retire? What's he going to do? I don't think he's coming to Edmonton, even if they threw some money at him. So Smith Stalock, at least in my eyes, is an improvement over Smith Koskinen. Okay. So that's a little step in the right direction. And then another year, again, you buy of development for your guys And at some point you're going to have to integrate in the new guys and get them into games, get them starts. And eventually one of them is going to have to take the net and become a number one for this franchise. Cause it hasn't really had a consistent number one in years. Yeah. Mike Smith has, you know, had to fight for that. And he only got it this year in a shortened season. And he might only have one more year to be a number one, and he's going to be pushing 40. So yeah, it's sort of a midterm problem and dilemma, but the Smith-Stalock combination, I think, is steadier than the Smith-Koskinen combination.
Tom Gazzola, host of the pre- and post-game show on TSN 1216, part of the Oil Stream podcast. Tommy, looking at the Oilers' defense for next year, I mean, the big ones are Larson, Barry, Kulikov, and Slater Cuckoo are all UFAs. We 100% sure Kulikov's not coming back. Tyson Barry, it's at a low percentage that he's already said he wants term. I don't think the Oilers can offer him that. And so Adam Larson, by all accounts, sounds like he's going to be coming back on a 3-4 year deal. And Slater Cuckoo is a guy that, I would bring back. He's probably not going to cost you much.
I don't understand this just saying, thanks for coming out, Tyson Barry. See you later. He made one comment in his postseason press conference that he's looking for term. Like, so you're just waving bye-bye? Like, no. Slater Cuckoo, whatever. Like, you know what? There's the infatuation with him, if there is one. Like, I don't understand it. He was serviceable for 1 year. Dominic Cahoon, serviceable for 1 year.
Guys,
Gaetan Haas, serviceable for 2 years. You know, like, you take him or leave him, basically. You can find other guys like that at good price points. Or if you really need depth on the left side, you could look at bringing back Slater Cuckoo. He didn't do anything to earn a long-term contract or anything by any means. Let's not kid ourselves. And so with Tyson Barry, like, why in God's green earth would you say, hey, Tyson Barry, you had an excellent season this year. You led the entire National Hockey League defenseman in scoring. Mm-hmm. Thanks for coming out. We don't need you. Like, to me, that is mind-blowingly ridiculous. You say, okay, what are you looking for? You have to have a conversation. What are you looking for? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm 29 or whatever, and I want a term. Okay, we understand that. What are you looking for in money? Well, you know, I want to make some more money. I took this sweetheart deal to reestablish myself, and I definitely did that. Yes, we recognize that. We understand it and respect it. Let's see if we can find some middle ground. That's what I think has to happen or will happen. Not just, hey, see you later. Well, you want term. We can't do that. Peace out. Not a chance. Like, are you crazy? So yeah, no. I don't buy that rhetoric whatsoever. Like, you have to talk to him and see if you can find a fit. And I think at some point, Hernan, when it comes, Larson, I think, is coming back. I'll say that too. And I think at some point, you're going to have to look at your prospect pool of defensemen, and that includes Bouchard and Bear. And, you know, who knows what happens with Caleb Jones. You got Broberg coming in, you got Samarukov, and there's not enough spots for these guys. And so you might have to turn one or two of them into an asset, depending on what happens at the expansion draft. And you might have to flip one for a legitimate top six winger or something like that. Like,
yeah,
you're going to have to use them instead of letting them expire and become nothing and non-prospects. You need to strike when the iron's hot, right? So that's kind of how I'm looking at it. But I just, this thing where you're just saying bye-bye to Tyson Barry, I go, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
How do you look at it that way? I know what you're going to have to lock up Nurse after this coming season. I know the Oscar Klefbom scenario, that's $4 million, just kind of like floating in the air that you don't know which way it's going to fall. So there's game plans that Ken Holland and his staff are probably going to have to make in terms of, well, if this happens with this guy, then we can do this. If this guy is going to be okay, ready to go, I'm talking about Klefbom, then, you know, we probably can offer Tyson Barry, if you will, this much money at this many years. So I think conversations have to be had, but to just say, Tyson Barry, see you later, is mind-blowing, especially considering what he did this season.
Yeah, no, I think there will be a conversation, and you never know, right? But Adam Larson's going to come in cheap. I don't think he's going to get over
yeah.
what he's making now. Yeah. And then, like you said, Slater Cuckoo, I mean, he ended up playing in the playoffs, which was kind of, I don't want to say incredibly surprising, but he did play all four games. And he's a guy that if things don't work out, that you can bring in late, right? Like, there's no rush to sign a Slater
no.
Cuckoo whatsoever. But I agree with Tyson Berry. I mean, I sent out a tweet that took off like a... like a wildfire, saying that I would bring him back, but it all depends on term and cost, right? So I think Kenny Holland is going to see what they can do with Tyson Berry, but I'm just right now, if I had to say yes or no, I don't think he's coming back, Tommy.
Okay. But I'll say this too. If people just expect Evan Bouchard or Ethan yeah. Bear to pick up the slack left behind, if Tyson Berry doesn't wind up back in Oilers colors next year, you're dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
Not a chance in hell that they pick up the slack whatsoever. Ethan Bear is still developing, and you know, we saw some peaks and valleys this year from him. Yeah. Evan Bouchard needs to play NHL games.
Yeah.
And so you're not replacing a veteran who led the league in defenseman scoring with a guy going into his third full season in Ethan Bear, or a guy going into his first full season or as a regular in Evan Bouchard. Not a chance in hell.
Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC, MMA action. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their playoff runs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. And that's what, like, listen, I liked Evan Bouchard, what I saw from him. He moves the puck incredibly well. You know he's going to be good on the power play, but everybody kept bringing up Tyson Berry's defensive play, which was okay this year. I mean, he wasn't horrendous. So he wasn't great either, but he was good. He held his own, at least in my opinion. And then Evan Bouchard's kind of a similar player. So all of a sudden, Evan Bouchard's going to jump into that top pair and be this offensive and defensive stud. Like you said, Tom, I think
not
you're
a chance.
Fooling yourself. Like, it's crazy to think that way.
He still has rookie tendencies. Like, he'll throw a puck away in his own zone when he yeah. feels heat, you know, and that's something veteran defensemen don't generally do. There's a lot of development left to be done at the NHL level for Evan Bouchard, and 300-400 games. That's the sweet spot before they really hit their stride. We saw it with Darnell Nurse this year. So Hernan, I mean, again, you know, if people are putting these sky high expectations on Bear or Bouchard, if Barry doesn't come back, they're out to lunch.
Broberg, still a year or two away for you?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it'd be good to see him in the AHL.
Yeah.
Kind of don't rush him. Don't force him into anything. Let him find his groove at the AHL level in North America, get adjusted, all those things. And maybe he sees some time with them next year. I mean, you look at the blue line, you go, well, there's a lot of right shot defensemen. How about on the left side?
Yeah.
It's kind of bare because we're talking about Chris Russell and Slater Cuckoo here, and we don't know what's going to happen with Caleb Jones. So for a guy like Broberg, there might be a window of opportunity at some point next season where he takes it. Mm-hmm. Plus he's a couple years older and he's played some pro hockey now, and that can only help. He's got a full off season to put on some weight and prepare himself for the National Hockey League or the American Hockey League. But that's one where you look at the left side and you're like, yeah, you know, I could see him playing some games.
Last one here on the decor, Adam Larson, we're all thinking he's for sure coming back. Tyson Berry, Cuckoo are kind of guys that are up in the air, and then Kulikov for sure. We keep talking about Kenny Holland has to bring in a goalie, number one, eventually a left winger for the top six, a third line center that's excellent on draws and can chip in offensively. I know names yesterday were being thrown out like a Blake Coleman, like a Zach Hyman. But when you look at the free agents or even the trade route, do you see Kenny Holland adding to this decor?
I'll just say role guys. I mean, how many more defensemen do you want? We saw guys this year who couldn't even get into the lineup that are respectable NHLers not being able to play. Yeah. Like, what are you expecting on the blue line? You have one of the best blue liners in the league right now in Darnell Nurse. Again, you had the leading defenseman in scoring in the league.
Yeah.
You got a shutdown guy who's reemerged in Adam Larson. And then, again, Oscar Klefbom, who at the time he decided he wanted to fix up his shoulder, was a pretty damn good defenseman in this league. Like, what are you adding?
Mm-hmm. Really, and I guess, like, and I guess that's the huge wild card, the Clefbaum, right? Like, and Kenny Holland said yesterday, like, we won't know for a bit here on the status of Oscar Clefbaum, because if he comes back, that's an enormous add. That's like bringing in a free agent.
That's why I, you know, what are you going to add on the blue line? and you've got this problem because you have too many guys that are ready to play and can play and have played for a while. So no, I don't foresee them being in the market for high end defensemen.
And the reason I asked, let's just say Barry moves on, Tommy, and then your right side's Larson, Bear, and Bouchard. Like, I'm a little concerned about that right side.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. That's why I think that you have to have the conversation about with Barry.
Yeah. No, 100%. It's it's going to be interesting. I mean, the D Corps played well this year. I think every guy that came in played well. I think Adam Larson, just out of nowhere, after a slow start, became that defenseman we saw in his first year here. Like you said, Tyson Barry came and did exactly what we expected him to do, was put up numbers. And Darnell Nurse took that next step, right? Like, this guy became a legit top pairing defenseman. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And the big one also is Caleb Jones, right? Expansion and all that. And he played most of the season down the stretch and was left out in the playoffs. So obviously you can't be too happy about that. So we'll see what happens with a young defenseman in Caleb Jones. Tommy, like always, you always bring the good stuff, the honest stuff, and I appreciate it, man. It's going to be an interesting offseason, and hopefully we can hit the airwaves soon here if we have some fill-ins at TSN 12.
Yeah, there's going to be that, but I'm more interested in hitting the patios soon.
Yes.
We've been deprived of that. You and I only got out for a post game once. November before things really got locked down again.
And last call was at 10, and I think we arrived at 9, so we had to speed drink, which was pretty funny. But Tommy, I know we were talking before we started recording, and everything's trending and looking good right now. Let's just cross our fingers that things keep trending in the right direction, and soon enough you'll probably find us on a patio downtown.
That's right. I can't wait. I can't wait. I can taste the deliciousness right now, buddy. Those beers are going to be cold, frosty, and delicious.
Tomas, thanks again, my friend.
All right. Gracias, senor.
Big shout out to Tal Gazzola for joining me here on the Locked On Oilers podcast. It's always a good conversation. And I agree with him. Well, you have to have the conversation with Tyson Barry. And he said he is looking for term. I don't know if the Oilers can do that. He'll be 30 heading into next season. I don't know what a number looks like. He's going to want to raise on what he was making. What was it? 3.75. I mean, I think you do. I'm a Tyson Barry guy. I think he makes his team better. I think he moves the needle a lot more than going with the younger group. But we'll wait and see on that. And Cuckoo, yeah, he was good. I mean, they liked him. They played every game in the playoffs. So, I mean, he's going to come cheap and a depth guy. So, yeah. And the Mike Smith stuff's interesting. Are you comfortable? That's the question of the day. Are you okay, comfortable, whatever word you want to use, with a combo of Mike Smith and Alex Stalock to start next year? Yes or no? Let me know on Twitter at Hernan the Man and at Locked On Oilers. Okay, guys, let's wrap this one up. Enjoy this beautiful Thursday. Be safe. We're trending in the right direction. Hopefully we're back to normal in a month or so. And some good news as well, as the looks like we were probably going to have a CFL season starting in August, sometime around there. That'd be great to see Canada's game back. I can't wait. It's been a long, long, long time since I've watched the good old green and gold place, so that's going to be fun. And don't forget, two NHL games on tap: Toronto home to Montreal, 5 o'clock start, and then at 7:30 it's Nashville home to the Carolina Hurricanes as they try to stay alive. Thanks to Tom Gazzola. We have one more podcast coming tomorrow. It's gonna be a little bit later as I'm doing a shift at the radio, so it'll probably drop in the late part of the afternoon, and maybe we'll talk forwards tomorrow, and maybe I'll reach out to my good buddy Low Tide. All right, guys, hit me up on Twitter at Hernan the Man and at Locked On Oilers. Are you okay with Stay Lock Mike Smith for next season? Don't forget to download and subscribe on your favorite apps for all the latest episodes. For my man Juanito and the Locked On Oilers podcast, I am Hernan the Man, talking Los Petroleros. Enjoy the rest of your day. Talk tomorrow.